Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Ernie Yarbrough here today, filling in for the one and only Phil Williams, live from the Right Side studio, local, state, and national. All the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm sitting here with Big Rig, ready to rock and roll. Got a great day of content for you, and I am excited to hop into some discussion today, stretch the mind, stir the hearts, and hopefully fire up Alabama Patriots for a free and flourishing Alabama. I love coming here. The drive is amazing. Backroads country represents really a lot of what I love about Alabama, is Alabama the beautiful, the country way of life. And it leads me for time to think about, you know, what are the important things we want to talk about? What do we want to share? And so I'm going to hop right in today to my opening monologue, A Tale of Two Chiefs. Now, of course, you know the story, Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, but this is A Tale of Two Chiefs. Anybody that knows me knows I love Scotland. It's kind of a joke in the state house, actually. I show up with a scarf. Hey, what hat is Ernie going to wear? Or a pin? Or got my Scottish wallet and my bag and all that stuff, right? So I talk about, matter of fact, I was just telling the Big Rig, hey, we're getting ready to launch a tour company taking folks to Scotland. Been doing that for years, tours, make it official. So looking forward super to that. Just punched my ticket, airplane ticket, 3 weeks almost to Scotland. Going to be taking a sabbatical to finish my book. I guess that's kind of like what Bilbo Baggins did. So needed a quiet place to finish his book. But I started reading about this incredible Christian political, economic, and cultural heritage of Scotland in high school with books like A Cloud of Witnesses and Fair Sunshine, along with the incredible histories of J.A. Wiley and a French guy named Merle d'Aubigny. And I'd be remiss, of course, not to mention the historical fiction in the world of G.A. Henty, George Alfred Henty, and such masterpieces as In Freedom's Cause, where it's historical fiction, right? So a young boy is growing up. There's fiction and there's actual history in these books. This young boy is growing up into manhood while he's fighting alongside William Wallace and Robert the Bruce to win Scotland's freedom. And I first went to Scotland in 2001. I was a college freshman on a history and faith trip with 25 other college students, my mom, and my current day mentor in the faith and life, Dr. George Grant. These histories and that trip actually changed my life so that I now return to Scotland on a yearly basis. Yes, I eat haggis. Yes, I climb tall mountains, and I even have a kilt. And I lead history tours, and I go there recharging again and again my love for faith and freedom. So really, to me, you know, Scotland has given me many gifts for which I am eternally grateful. Shout out here to my cousin Crystal. Cousin Crystal, hope you're listening. She's a travel agent. She'll hook you up, take you to places like Scotland. We're going to use her coming up for our next set of trips. So she's amazing, and she wishes she could be here today. But she's out there working hard, paying her taxes so people who don't work can have a living. So, oddly enough, COVID, a strange bedfellow to be mentioned in connection with freedom and faith like Scotland, gave me many gifts as well. In fact, I'm wearing some of them today for your eye candy, Big Rig. I'm wearing some of the clothing that COVID inspired, which we'll talk about here shortly in my monologue. Now, COVID was an all-out assault on liberty and freedom, and our Constitution was written precisely during times of upheaval and death to protect our most precious rights, not to find excuses to take them away, but rather to lean harder into them precisely when there is upheaval and unrest, right? Not the, oh, there's uncertainty, let's double down on big government. Nope. They said, hey, there's death, destruction, unrest. We got to pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors and lean harder into liberty, right? So traveling after COVID, especially in Europe and where there are tons of trains, I made it a point to talk to people, right? People in their own little bubble, right? Get them out of the COVID bubble, bad as it already was before COVID, and enter back into the world where humans are more interesting than man-made products like smartphones and iPads. Now, Big Rig and I were just talking. He's a tech guy writing code, music stuff. I'm a coder. Tech is awesome. It's got its place. Matter of fact, if you're hearing my voice right now, you're enjoying some technology. So it's got its place. But its best place is when it aids human relationship. Now, what in the world does Scotland, COVID, this hat and t-shirt that I'm wearing, which we'll talk about in a second here, and A Tale of Two Chiefs have anything to do with each other? Well, All right, the hat and the t-shirt. All right, so this hat here that I'm wearing, for those of you who are watching the video production, it is Latin on there, right? And I asked my 11-year-old son, well, all right, so if your friends are out there that do classical conversations, my apologies. We haven't gotten to Latin yet. It was really funny. I asked my 11-year-old, knowing he had no chance of pronouncing it right because we haven't done any Latin. He's like, I'm a goatee. I was like, and his mom is like, no, we're laughing. No, focus on the first word. He's like, I'm a go. Well, you know what? You're a Yarbro, so you are a go, right? I mean, because, hey, that's how we do life. We just take it by the horns and rip with it. I said, but actually, no, son, it's Imago Dei, right? Imago Dei, in the image of God. Man is made, women are made in the image of God. It's important as image bearers, right, of God, that we have that conversation and understand that that's the framework in which we need to be solving problems and discussing reality. Like, we are made in the image of God. Another thing, I'm wearing a t-shirt. Hey, we need less 1984 and more 1776, right? 1984, famous book. Hey, there's coming a day. Big brother, big government's going to control everything, right? We need less of that and more 1776, right? We need more of patriots who move from principle and who are willing to fight and give their fortunes, their lives, their sacred honor for liberty and freedom, if that's what it takes, right? Set comfort aside that my children might have freedom. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to roar if that's what it takes to fight for my family and for my freedom and for my future. So, image of God, less 1984, more 1776, right? We need a return to reading loving old books, raising the flag of principle regardless of the cost. It is what I call the 40-year plan and not the 4-year plan. Let's face it, folks, even if Donald Trump gets elected, we get it most 4 years. We need something. I'm looking out further than 4 years, right? So who are the two chiefs? All right. Well, how in the world does this all tie together? Well, Scotland presents to me such a time of timeless beauty, faith, freedom, and covenant community, right? That Celtic knot tied together, that Celtic knot of connection. COVID represents the opposite to me, the idea that elites can manufacture crises and then swoop in as self-proclaimed saviors for a top-down reordering of society that hates grassroots faith, freedom, and a vibrant middle class. These hats and shirts are one way I seek to create conversation, to call out public discussion on trains and so forth. It's a lot of fun, actually, at airports. You should try it sometime. On such important issues as those represented in Scotland and COVID and pictured in the reality that we are fighting a battle for what image man is made in the likeness of, and whether we want to live for pleasure or for principle. Now, two chiefs, particularly two Kansas City chiefs, to be exact, are an excellent representation of this battle. I preached a sermon on this title recently called The Tale of Two Chiefs, and that's, of course, Travis Kelce and Harrison Butker. Right, they've been in the news recently, in the last month or so. You've probably followed up on some of that. You've seen it. Now, obviously, Travis Kelce doesn't need an introduction. He's famed for Super Bowl championships, slamming back beers on graduation stages, dating Taylor Swift, and reminding all of us, Big Rig, to make sure and take our 37th COVID booster. That and his girlfriend recently leading her concert attendees in an F the Patriarchy chant, ironically, while she was standing on a stage and utilizing all kinds of resources manufactured and assembled by men. But I digress. Harrison Butker, on the place kicker for the Chiefs, needs no introduction now, but that's because he majorly upset the apple cart of progressives, feminists, and other social prognosticators by daring to put his hand upon the sacred calf of modern identity theory and had the courage to call us away from our modern pursuit of madness to a more tried and true path. Right? So what did Harrison Butker say in a nutshell? He said, look, we're made in the image of God. We need to be getting back to having homes and families and children. Right? Didn't say women can't have careers. Didn't say women can't have be smart, make money, and all of those things, right? Proverbs 31, right? But what he is saying is that Genesis 1-3 is true, right? God made man, God made woman. He tells us who we are, what we are. God prioritizes the family. He defines man and woman. He defines male and female. He gives roles and responsibilities. These are woven into the very fabric of existence, right? And you can only pretend for so long that Genesis 1-3 is not true and make war on reality before reality has a way of blowing up in your face. Because at some point you realize if we don't prioritize the family, we're going to run out of people. And the people that we're going to have are going to come from broken homes and brokenness and step into brokenness, and they're not going to have the worldview to work, have the character, the drive to overcome, to make money, to be the kind of people that society needs to be, those incremental and integral building blocks that make a society and a nation strong. Now, yeah, it's true. Marriage is hard. Having kids is hard. Raising kids is hard. But the point that he was making is it's worth it. It's worth it, right? And it's high time that we return to glorifying God's definitions of men and women and the ways that we are not interchangeable so that we can celebrate a diversity that has a future, not the woke mob diversity mentality that is at war with creation itself and has to seek to steal our children because they don't want to make any of their own, but the kind of diversity that acknowledges the color spectrum in the rainbow as God's rainbow, not the rainbow of the homosexual movement, but rather the rainbow that God set in the sky as a reminder that he is both holy and good, and that as we pursue his creation mandates for work and family and purpose and calling for our lives, that diversity and unity of a truly meaningful life surrounded by children, a future, and highly competent and successful men and women is ours for the taking. Right, it's ours. So it's time to reach back to our heritage. It's time to remember the words of Luke 5:39. You know what? The old's better. Right? Can we utilize modern technology? Of course. Using it right now. Can men and women pursue their goals and dreams? Of course. But fundamental to this conversation is the seedbed and manufacturing site of our culture, the home. And to do the home well, folks, it takes time, takes hard work, takes embracing hard things, takes actually having children, getting married, having babies, loving and serving each other, and stepping into our God-defined roles with all of our hearts, loving service, laying down our lives with the roles that God has for us. So, finish out this opening monologue with this quote from C.S. Lewis, right? Progress means getting nearer to the place you want to be. And if you have taken a wrong turn, then to go forward does not get you any nearer. If you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn, walking back to the right road. Right Side Radio, it's poetic. Right road. And in that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive man. Sometimes, folks, when we realize that we've gone wrong, we got to turn around, we got to walk back, and step into identity, meaning, and purpose that God has given for us. Sometimes the old is better. And that's a wrap for the monologue of The Right Side Way.